Well, good evening. I feel bad about interrupting this wonderful prayer time. That's been wonderful. It's been a blessing and a real encouragement to be a witness to this prayer time. It blessed my heart. And we know that you guys have been praying for us. And we want to, from the bottom of our hearts, we want to say thank you for praying for us and the work that we are doing among the Kankanai people in the northern Philippines, up in the mountains. We are now living at, we have lowered a little bit. We were at 5,000 feet, now we are down to 3,000 feet, but as we move to another village, but we'll get into that a little bit later. As you might remember, we were at one point in England, and we had moved from the Philippines to England and thought that we had kind of retired from the Philippines, but the Lord made it very, very clear to us that we should return. And so we did that in 2014, after 6 years in England. Our goal at that point was to provide the Kankanai people with teaching materials, both for evangelism, discipleship, and teaching in the church. They don't have any materials whatsoever. All they have is this book. This is the only book that's available in the Kankanai language. And I'm glad the only book that's available in their language is the Bible. But it's not yet complete, and I'll give a little more details about that later on. But as we move back to the Philippines, we're wondering, you know, when we start preparing materials for them to teach, both for evangelism and teaching in our churches, where do we start? So that was the kind of the million dollar question in our minds. That's where Luke chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 was a real blessing and very helpful to me, because Luke says that he did the research. Then he wrote a report in its proper order or proper sequence so that Theophilus would be convinced of the truth that he had been taught. I thought, that sounds great. That sounds very clear, very logical, and that made it very clear to us. So what we did, we started with evangelism materials. And as a very, very basic outline of the work that we do, first we start with evangelism, and then we move on to, as we have believers, as we have to have them, as the people trust Jesus Christ as their Savior, we go through a few lessons through the Old Testament and bring them up to the gospel through the ascension of Christ to establish them in their faith. And as we have done that, and then we have this brand new group of believers, we essentially have the beginning of a new church, don't we? So therefore, we move on to the book of Acts. And because the book of Acts is, of course, the beginning of the church, and the book of Acts is also the foundation or the basis for, or the background for the epistles as we move on. So after the book of Acts, we move on to the epistles. And we are very, very thankful for the progress of the lessons that we have been working on, but we're even more thankful for the reception of these materials that we have provided for them. It's very, very exciting to see them take these lessons and use them, and particularly the evangelism lessons. As far as the team that we are working with, we have three men who are very, very active in the church, in the village that they are in. They're all rice farmers. They love the Lord, and they spend a lot of time reading and studying His Word. They really do. One of them is very well educated. I think he completed grade 6. But he loves the Lord, and does he ever know His Word? He's a wonderful blessing and an encouragement and a challenge to us as we work with him. So we started with evangelism lessons, but in order for us to make the lessons clear to them, not only in their language, but also so that they are so that the lessons are expressed the way they express ideas and how they communicate. We went through a process because one of the things that we did not want is that we didn't want anybody to look at these lessons and say, "Ah, look at that. That sounds just like Rocky." We didn't want that. I'm sure you have already detected I have an accent. I don't sound like an islander. Even when I speak Kankanai, I have an accent, and people detect, "Oh yeah, that's Rocky." But we do not want these lessons to sound like that. We want them to be clear so that they sound like the way they say things. So how do we do that? What we do is I have these three guys who work with me, and I teach them a lesson. And I tell each of them, take notes, listen well, and take notes and write it down. When I'm finished teaching them the lesson, I say to them, "Okay, now you guys compare those notes and rewrite the lesson. The three of you combine all your notes and rewrite the lesson that I just taught you. And when you're finished doing that, then one of you studies those notes and you teach me the same lesson." And when they have done that and teach me the lesson, I record it on my digital recorder, copy it to the computer, transcribe it, and print it out. And that becomes the rough draft of the lesson. That not only gives us the perfect language, but also it makes the lessons natural in their way of saying things. And if you think that's tedious, you're right. That's very tedious, but it makes the lessons sound like the way they say things. And that's what we are aiming for. Since we work with people who have not grown up in a church or a Bible background, we need to be very, very careful that the gospel is and the scripture is communicated very, very clearly and accurately and in a language that they understand the best, so that as in the words of Luke, you may have proper and reliable information. We get excellent help from and advice from experienced missionaries. That has been a tremendous help for us. So with this team, both with experienced missionaries all around us and with these three guys I am working with, we are richly blessed. We really are. And then Kankanai believers are also both enthusiastic and excited about the lessons that we have produced so far. The first set, which was the evangelism set, was finished in 2016. And then the second set was a set for new believers, where the emphasis is to establish them in their newfound faith. For example, when opposition or discouragement or doubt set in, it's very easy that we look at ourselves, isn't it? That we, what did I do wrong? Or did I mean it? Or did I say the right thing? What's the problem with that? It's I, isn't it? What we remind them of is, don't look here. Look at, I'm sure you have a cross here somewhere. look at the cross. Look at Calvary, because we all understand, in the end, the gospel is what Jesus did for us on the cross, isn't it? We remind them, we emphasize the fact that when you are discouraged, when you are doubting, don't look at yourself. Look at what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross. And that set of lessons was finished in 2018, so 2 years after the first set. The third set was the book of Acts. And since the book of Acts is the beginning of the church and also the foundation and background of the epistles, that was the next book that we went on to. And we finished that earlier this year. I made a trip over to the Philippines in March and April this year, in the spring. And we edited, with the three guys, we edited those lessons. And the teachers have since taken those lessons and gone to churches throughout the mountains there in the northern Philippines and been teaching the book of Acts in various churches. And it's what an encouragement that is to us to see these believers take these lessons and go around. They go on the motorcycles 4 or 5 hours in the steep mountains, teach a group of believers here and there, and some are closer, of course. But what an encouragement to see these believers excited, go with the Bible, with the lessons, and teach them. And they have taught, say, I think in about 10 different churches, they have taught the book of Acts. What a challenge that is for me as I work with them and see them take those lessons and go all over the mountains. What a blessing that is. The fourth set of lessons was 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. I made another trip to the Philippines in just this last September, actually. The Thessalonian letters is a very positive and encouraging letter. Both of them are very encouraging letters about how the gospel came to Thessalonica and how those people were changed because of the gospel. Like Paul says in chapter 1, verse 3, how their work for the Lord was produced by faith, and their labor for the Lord was prompted by love, and the endurance was inspired by their hope in the return of Jesus Christ. Or the way he puts it in chapter 1, verse 9, how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God as you wait for the Son coming from heaven. Or another interesting thought from chapter 1. Paul talks about in verse 5 how the gospel came to you, and in verse 8 how the gospel went out from you. So that was the fourth set, the Thessalonian letters. Thessalonian letters. And the fifth set is what I'm working on right now, and that is the book of Romans. As I have read some books, some commentators about the book of Romans, some people have defined Romans as the cathedral of the Christian faith. Or some have said, what is the gospel? And as I think of that, those two definitions, the cathedral of the Christian faith, wow. That makes Romans sound very, very important. And of course, it is. Of course, I want to be very, very careful that I don't say Romans is more important than any other book. It's not that. That's not what I mean. But Romans is so foundational. It talks about how we are separated from God, condemnation, and then because of Jesus Christ, we are justified. And then it goes on to sanctification. And it's a very, very important book for the Christians to understand because the message of it is just so incredibly foundational and important. So as I work on the book of Romans, I would really appreciate your prayers. As I go through that through that book, it's a huge challenge. And for those lessons to be clear so that the people understand that message, that is the burden of my heart. So please pray as I go through the book of Romans. It's a massive challenge. I have talked to some translators, Bible translators, and most of them tell me that Romans is probably the most difficult book in the Bible to translate. It's a very, very challenging book. Very big, a lot of big words, like how do you say justification or sanctification in a tribal language where that concept might not even exist? Those are challenging thoughts, challenging ideas, and it's a exciting work, but it has its challenges as well. I want to tell you a very positive result of COVID. During the lockdown, there was lockdown here, there was lockdown in the Philippines. There was one time where we were allowed to go to town once a week, but only like two or three hours that day that we were allowed to go to town. So the preventative measures were quite strict. I remember the one time during the strictest period of that lockdown, as I went into town, I was stopped by the military. So where are you going? So I said, this is my day. I can go to the market. Oh, that's right. Yeah, okay. Go ahead. Just drive over there first. And I saw a kind of plastic tent set up. I said, what is that? I hadn't seen that before. I had to drive very slowly through that, and they disinfected my truck. But the nice thing was about that, we were also allowed to walk around in the community. We are not just that locked down. So we walked around. We were allowed to do that, but as long as we did not meet in groups. So listen, we walked around the valley down below our house. There are gardens, vegetable gardens, strawberry gardens, flower gardens, beautiful place. So we met farmers here and there, and we chatted with them. Some of them were Kankanai, and others were not. But one day, a guy comes up to me, says, excuse me, sir, are you missionaries? I was surprised that he asked me that question, because he didn't know me, and I didn't know him. So why did he think that? But anyway, of course, I told him, yes. Oh, good. We have many unbelievers here in our neighborhood, he said. My wife and I and our neighbor are the only believers, and we are burdened for our neighbors and for our relatives. Would you come and have an evangelistic Bible study with us? I said, sure. But we do need to wait for a little bit, because right now the government is not allowing these that we meet in groups. But it sounds like things are going to ease up. So let's wait for a couple of weeks, which we did. And then, sure enough, the government lifted some of the restrictions and we were allowed to meet. So we met every Sunday afternoon. And right away, or quite early in the process of these meetings, I started telling them that we are planning to move to another area of the Kankanai region. So I asked him, because of that move, can we meet twice a week? Because we had a number of lessons that we wanted to finish before leaving. And they said, sure. So we decided we'd meet Friday night and Sunday afternoon. Then as the time came closer, I kept wondering, well, who is going to take this Bible study after I leave? Because I did not want it to drop, because there was great interest among the people, and I really wanted it to continue. So I kind of kept looking around, you know, the people I knew in town, and missionaries, pastors, and so there was one guy I had developed a very, very good relationship with, a pastor in town. So I asked him one day, hey, Charlie, do you know somebody who can take the responsibility of this Bible study? He said, well, let's pray about that. So both of us prayed, both together and individually, and sure enough, there was a guy called Robert who took on the responsibility with this Bible study. As time moved on, we moved to another village, and Robert took responsibility of this Bible study, and after a few months, this Bible study turned into a new local church. Wow. So not all things are bad about COVID. As I said earlier, I was there this past September, and I had the opportunity to go and speak to this group of believers. There was particularly one guy, there were a few testimonies before I spoke, And there was particularly one guy, his name was Watson. He was a former pagan, meaning that he lived in fear of evil spirits. He offered or sacrificed chickens, dogs, pigs to evil spirits in the name of their ancestors. If something had happened, like a bad dream or a little accident or things like that, they would have to sacrifice one of those animals because of fear. And when I left, or when Liz and I left, we moved to the other area, he was still a pagan. But that Sunday when I was there, he gave a testimony. And he said, "Now I am confident that when I die, I'm going to heaven because of what Jesus did for me on the cross." I thought, oh, that was worth coming to that meeting. To hear him say that he was confident that he was going to heaven because of what Jesus had done for him on the cross. And that Bible study started because of COVID. Praise the Lord. We moved to a village called Naiba. As I mentioned earlier about our move, we had been living in town, which initially was a good location for us because the town that we lived in was very central to the Kankanai area, because Kankanai people are up north in the mountains, and they are very, very hard workers. Most of the vegetables that are sold in the city of Manila, of about 20 to 30 million people, come from those mountains. So here are truckloads after truckload after truckload of potatoes and cabbage and carrots and you name it. It all comes into the city. So it was easy, relatively easy at least, to get to many different areas of the Kankanai tribe out of that city. But as time went on with the development of lessons, it was very obvious there were particularly three guys who were more gifted than any of the others. And they all lived in the same area, but which was on the west end of the tribe, which gave Liz and me the ideas. Why, now that we have a good team of gifted men, why don't we move to where they live? So we packed up, packed our truck, and I made a few trips over to Naiba. But of course, this was also in the middle of COVID, and I believe a similar situation here in Canada. Provincial boundaries were a challenge. same thing in the Philippines. I had to cross one provincial boundary, and I just couldn't do it unless I had the permit. So I had to stand out in the tropical sun for 4 hours every time I made a trip and get a piece of paper so that I could go to the village. But that move has proven to be much better place for us to live now, as far as developing the lessons is concerned. The house that we moved to was in rough shape. It had been empty for 20 years, and as you know, any house that's empty for 20 years deteriorates. In the tropics, even worse. The termites and other bugs, and just the damage was terrible. So with the help of the guys in the church there, the house was repaired, and we have a little hut there up in the mountains there, and working with those guys, and it has been proven to be a tremendous blessing as we now live closer to those men. It gives us much more time together, and it gives me a better feeling also of what's happening in the tribe, in the churches, and that all around has been a good choice to go to live right there with them. One of the things I started because as a result of that move was a men's meeting. Because the guys who work with me and along with me, we kept talking more and more about the work and said, why don't we have a men's meeting? We need to talk about evangelism, about outreaches. And we did that. So we we have about 12 to 15 men come every other Saturday for a time of where we discuss where some of the outreaches are needed. And then we talk about how to teach these lessons that we had developed. And then we pray together. And what a blessing that has been to meet with these guys. Most of the men are from this church that's in this village of Naiba. But then there's another church about an hour's hike away. Two men come from over there. And it just has brought those men so much closer together. But the main thing for me is I see these men taking these evangelism lessons and they go out there and have Bible studies. What a blessing that has been. Again, during the outreach, during the lockdown, an outreach started about an hour's hike down from Naiba, an hour hike down the mountain. Because there was a time that when the church was not allowed to meet on Sundays, the government said no. So they said, okay. And one of the guys said, all right, if we can't meet as a church, I'm going down there to have a Bible study. So off he went. And he went in to visit some people that he knew. They were unbelievers. And they asked him, would you be willing to have Bible study in your house? Yeah. So he started teaching them through these lessons. By the time he was finished teaching the lessons, there was a small group of new believers. But there were also a few other believers in that same village or in that kind of general neighborhood. But those people, those believers down there, they hiked for a whole hour up to the meeting every Sunday morning in Naiba. Any of you here hike for an hour, come to the meeting? Maybe not. But these people, they hike for an hour up the mountain to the meeting. After the meeting, hike an hour back down. And now there are more believers. And what have they done? They have decided to start a new church down there. All during COVID. Wonderful. Another friend, his name is George. He is from the original village that we lived in back in the 80s. And a very busy man. He's a school teacher. He is teaching at least two Bible studies a week, both evangelistic. His niece, whose mother is one of the first believers from the village that we first lived in, after she graduated from high school, she went to town, about a 4 hours hike away, and went to a college there and took up education. But while she was in college, she was very active in witnessing and talking to fellow students about the Lord, along with attending the church in town. And now that she is finished with her education, that church has asked her, hey, girlie, would you like to work with us full-time and in a ministry of teaching college students in our dorms, do evangelism full-time in the dorms? And she said yes. So right now, at least from the beginning of this school year until Christmas. Thank you. So this school year, at least until Christmas, she is full-time teaching, working out from that church in town, doing evangelism among the college students. So those are some of the incredible blessings that we have been seeing since we have returned. There's one more baptism. Last December, there were 10 people baptized in the village that we moved to back in the 80s. We know some of them, and for the others, from the younger ones, we know their grandparents. Yeah. But what a blessing to see the church going on. We have not lived in that church lived in that village for, since early 92, and just this last December, 10 people were baptized from that church. And from the area where we are living now, there have been two different baptisms, two one time, three another time. So it's exciting to see that these believers are reaching out to their own people. As far as Bible translation, what we have here is 58%. That means we have the entire New Testament. We have all the Psalms, all the Proverbs, and then selected passages from other books of the Bible. Like Genesis, we have, say, the creation story, Cain and Abel, the flood, Tower of Babel, call of Abraham. And in Exodus, we have, of course, the Passover and part of the journey from Egypt back to Canaan. And then through the historical books, some portions in the prophets, to a total of 58%. And, of course, if we ask the Kankanai people, would you like to have the Bible complete, all the Bible? Well, of course, the answer is yes. Well, would God want them to have the whole Bible? Of course. Well, the question is, who's going to do it? That is, shall we say, that's the million-dollar question. Who is going to do that? I have never done Bible translation, and I'm not about to start now. What's on our hearts is to finish lessons on the rest of the New Testament, and I can pretty much guarantee that I will not be able to finish all of it. As I said earlier, right now, Romans is next, and then, of course, Corinthians, Galatians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus. I'd love to do Hebrews and Revelation. That's a scary one. And all the others. I'm not sure. I think I can say I will not be able to finish all of that. Not to mention Bible translation. I just can't. So please pray for us as we look for a team of people to finish the Bible, so that the Kankanai people also can have the entire Bible in their language. So again, from the bottom of our hearts, thank you for praying for us, for the work among the Kankanai people, and for the support that you guys have been sending us. Thank you very, very much. In closing, as you probably know, that Liz has had some health issues, and that's why I have made trips by myself to the Philippines. But praise the Lord, she is much, much better. And we are hoping that both of us can return to the Philippines sometime next year. Thank you for the opportunity to share with you tonight. And again, thank you from the bottom of our hearts for praying for us and the work of the Lord in the Philippines.